Hey everyone, I am Reva and just want to take a moment and thank you for listening to our studio podcast. Although we are here in Greenville, South Carolina, we are grateful for your support to see the message of Jesus go out all over the world. In case you are not aware, we have a YouTube channel, which you can find the link in our podcast bio. We hope you enjoy this week's talk and it encourages you and it helps you to be the human God designed you to be. So with that, let's get right to it.
All right, good afternoon. Where I'm from, you usually reply good afternoon back, but maybe, I don't know. Good afternoon. Good to see you guys. So wonderful to see you. Anybody want a candy? No, I don't think you do. All right. Well, as you have already heard, we have Inspire this week, and we are very excited. And have you ever gotten a photo taken of yourself, and you told yourself, make sure you're smiling when they take the photo, and then you see the photo, and you feel like you're not smiling? Has anybody ever had that experience? How about when somebody records a video of you, and you feel so warm and inviting, you just like, oh, I am portraying warmth. And then you watch the video and you're as cold can be. So that's the problem I have, is on the inside I'm excited, happy, but for some reason it doesn't always show up on the outside. Like right now, I'm like beaming with life. I don't know if it's coming across to you, but I definitely have a level of excitement. Did anybody resonate with me on that? Yes. Okay. So I want you to know that I am very excited about Inspire. It is something that we've been planning for a while now. And to be honest with you, I told our team earlier this morning, said the next 7 to 8 days are some really important days for Studio. Not to diminish where we've been, what we've done, and what's led up to this moment, but I know the next 7 to 8 days are really important for who we are and where we are going. That's why we're getting as many people as involved as possible. Before I get into today's talk, I wanted to take a moment and just kind of talk about Inspire itself. I know you've seen the promo, you've been hearing about it, and I know a lot of you are busy, have schedules, but if there's any way to be a part of any moment of it, I would highly encourage you to, because it is an important part of who we are and where we are going. Now, I'm going to read off some names. Some of them, they're not here in the second gathering. Most of them come to the first gathering. But if I call your name, could you stand? So Candace, can you stand? We have Kylie Onspach. We have Luke Onspach, Talon, Sevi, Matt Patch. I don't know if Matt's in this gathering. And we have Reva. Reva's in the back. She's coming around. Shayna. Then we have her husband, Adam, and then another fine gentleman named Herb. All these people are part of Studio, and they're going to be speaking, doing lab, doing experiences, and doing main sessions. And so we got two of them here. Why don't you give it up for them? High five. And then we have our good friend, Erwin McManus, will be here. If you've never heard him communicate or read any of his books, I believe he's one of the most profound communicators of our day. He's become a dear friend of ours. We actually, Studio is a result partly because of our relationship, and he's been a big part of it from day one. If you have not been around since he has been here, he actually hasn't been here in 3 years, so it's so fun to have him back. He will be speaking Thursday night and Friday morning, and it's going to be exceptional. I wanted to take a moment. It's so hard to describe one of the things that we're doing in this event. It's called experiences. In fact, we debated if we should call it Inspire Experiences, but we didn't think anybody would come. So we threw the word conference in there with a little effort to get as many people here as possible. But there's something that we're doing in the event called experiences. We're offering 5 different experiences. They will repeat itself, 1 on Thursday, and the same 5 will repeat itself on Friday. A while ago, I had this thought. I said, what would it have been like to sit down with Michelangelo as he's creating one of his masterpieces? What would it have been like to be in the room as he is processing and watching him go through his creative process in creating what you and I travel all over the world to see today? What would it have been like to ask him questions? What's going on here? What were you thinking here? And why did you do that? And I was having this thought. I said, what if we found a way to do some version of that? So I found five people, and all of them, except the exception of one of them, are from the studio community. One of them from Charlotte is a good friend of mine, and he worked in the creative marketing agency, and he makes some of the most beautiful cars that you will experience. I've seen a couple of them, and they're stunning. He's bringing two of them down. Junto's lobby is going to be very cool, by the way. You're not going to want to miss it. But the whole idea was, how do we, labs and workshops are more lecture, more teaching, more practical, more pragmatic, and there's a place for that. But we wanted to create experiences where you could sit in a room with an artist, someone that creates something, and to listen and to be a part of their creative process. So you can watch, you can ask questions, they can unpack what they're going through, what's going on. Some of them, they can't necessarily create it on the spot, so they're going to bring some of their personal masterpieces, and they're going to take you through the journey of what it took to create these masterpieces. And what's amazing, I've sat down with each and every one of them. I said, don't just tell us the highlights of the creative process. I want you to give us some of the lowlights of the creative process. I think oftentimes we celebrate masterpieces, we celebrate the result of work, but we often don't celebrate the process. And so my heart is that each and every one of us come to this event to sit in a room and watch people and to listen to their creative process. We have one guy, he's a part of our QDO community, he's a good friend. And if you don't know, there's a sneaker culture, a subculture that's called sneakerheads. And do I have any sneakerheads in here? One, two, three. Okay, there we go. That's all we need. We just need three. But there's a sneakerhead culture, and it's a subculture. And one of the guys created the top three shoe in 2023. And he's going to be unpacking his whole entire creative process. Top three shoe in the world. There's a lot of shoes out there, if you didn't know that. So this is incredible. He's going to come in. He's going to unpack his creative process. We have Kylie Ansbach, who is a ceramic artist. She was up here a couple weeks ago throwing pottery during the first session of our Create series. She's going to be taking you into she's going to be throwing clay and doing this whole pottery experience for you to get immersed in the creative process of what's going on as she's shaping and forming wet dirt. And then we're going to have another guy who got the cars. He's bringing two of his iconic cars down, and he's going to walk you through the process of what it takes to restore a 1956 Cadillac and a 1927 Roadster. I mean, we're talking some really exceptional things. And then we have Matt Patch, who's our very own. Matt, if you don't know Matt, Matt is a coffee guru. And in the wine world, we have what's called sommeliers. And you have to go through a certification process to get a sommelier certification. Well, in the coffee world, it's called Q Grader. There's only 7,000 people on the entire planet that have this certification, and Matt has one. And so Matt's going to immerse you into the world of coffee and what it takes for his creative process to create some of the world's best coffee. So we've got five of these really unique experiences, and I want to encourage you, if you haven't thought about coming, maybe that tips you over the point. We got people doing PTO, time off, vacation, just to be a part of this. And so that's coming up. But again, there are some ways to help volunteering. If you want to pop into this event, we would love to have you. But if you're not able to make it, don't worry. You can do something. Pray for all of us, because we're going to need it. We're going to need prayer and support, and we're excited to put a flag in the ground and to continue this conversation around creativity. So if you're not able to be there, how many will just join with us and support us in prayer and cheer us on? Three of you. I hope the rest of you. Come on now. All right. Thank you, Michelle. I appreciate it. All right. Are you guys ready to jump into part three? How many are ready for part three? All right, let's do it. Part three of the Create series. Beauty is what created the world, and beauty is what can save the world. In 1989, there was a peaceful, nonviolent uprising in Czechoslovakia called the Velvet Revolution, which led to the fall of the communist government and the transition to democracy. It was part of the broader wave of anti-communist movements in Eastern Europe at the end of the Cold War. The Velvet Revolution was led by Václav Havel. He was a Czech playwright, a dissident, and an eventual politician. He is remembered as a champion of human rights, democracy, and artistic freedom. He was asked by the BBC after the Berlin Wall fell in the 90s how he led the Velvet Revolution in Czechoslovakia. His response was, "Communism had its narrative, we had ours." Though through playwrights, writers, and poets, we created a parallel society. You keep all the legislators, but give me the artists, and I'll have the heart of a nation. You see, culture is shaped by someone or something. What I want you to understand is that someone is shaping culture right now. The question, who is shaping culture? Interestingly, on the other side of the conversation of one of the most influential communist leaders, in the earlier 1900s, Joseph Stalin is attributed to saying this, "If I could control writers and musicians, I could control the nation." What I want you to understand that creativity goes beyond just creating art. It actually has the power and the ability to shape culture. Human creativity has immense potential. It has endless potential. I have a deep interest in how the act of creating can change the world, society, and culture. In fact, I'm personally at a point in my life where I feel like I'm starting to put all my chips in the middle of the table and staking it on this idea. I believe creating and culture is the future of the church. And it's something I'm willing to put all my chips in the middle of the table. What I want you to understand is someone is shaping and creating culture. I dream of a future, of a reality where a community of people are following Jesus, are willing to cross the channel between church and culture. That are willing to cross the religious channel, to swim across it, to leave the confines of just a community of believers, but actually step into the chaos of culture to create a beautiful future. While the world offers a culture that reflects human brokenness, creativity for me and you is to reflect something infinitely beautiful. I want us to be a people that echo infinite creativity, infinite possibilities, and to see a beauty that is revealed that the human soul longs for. I genuinely believe Jesus is the king that everyone wishes for. I believe Jesus is the desire of nations. I believe Jesus is the king that everyone longs for. And guess what? You and I get the incredible responsibility and privilege and opportunity to participate in revealing the beauty of who Jesus is. If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn to Genesis 1, 26 and 27. It's on the screen as well. Let's read this passage together. "Then God said, 'Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground.' So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." I want you to look at the word image and likeness. Today, we're going to talk about the image of God. In Latin, it's referred to as Imago Dei, which some of you have heard. And today, I want to unpack one of the core theological concepts of all of Christianity. This is one of those distinctions that our religion, our faith, is so different than all other major religions. It's built on this framework called the image of God, also known as Imago Dei. Let's go to the next slide. I want to talk to you about image and likeness. Let's look at the Hebrew word that is used for the word image here. It is derived from the root meaning to carve and to cut out, implying a representation or a likeness. The biblical context is humans are not physical copies of God, but representative of his rule on earth. Unlike idols, which are lifeless, humans are living reflections of God's attributes. Let's go to the next slide. The Hebrew word used for likeness comes from a root meaning to be similar and to resemble. The biblical usage is used in Genesis 5, implying a resemblance, but not an exact copy. In Ezekiel, it is described a vision of God's throne with having the likeness of a human, meaning proximate resemblance rather than exact form. So it's likeness, it's a resemblance, not exactly, but close in form. Now, the key idea behind this Hebrew word is it emphasizes the nature. The humans share certain qualities with God, such as reason, morality, relational capacity, but are not divine themselves. Let's go to the next slide. A couple important points of why image and likeness work so beautifully together. If only the Hebrew word for image was used, it might suggest that humans are just statues or symbols of God. If only the Hebrew word for likeness was used, it might imply humans are exactly like God in every way, in parentheses, which isn't true. So together, they show that humans are both God's representatives and share some of his attributes, but are not divine. Why is this important? Because image and likeness begin to frame the framework around human. Let's go to the next slide. I want to go over some key theological points regarding Imago Dei, or the image of God. Humans reflect God's image. Genesis 1, 26 and 27 teaches that humanity is created in God's image and likeness. This means that humans uniquely reflect certain attributes of God. Unlike the rest of creation, this is what distinguishes us from the rest of all of creation. Humans are designed to mirror God's character and are entrusted with the responsibility to steward and care for the earth. Notice that last line, we've been entrusted to steward and care for the earth. This image is not physical likeness because God is spirit, but a spiritual and moral resemblance. It involves qualities like reason, creativity, relational capacity, moral awareness, and the ability to make decisions. Let's go to the next slide. I want you to go to the bottom of the slide. I want you to notice something. 3,000 years of Hinduism, 2,600 years of Buddhism, 1,000 years of Islam, and just over a century of secularism, none of those traditions have a value for human life. This is significant because what we need to understand is that you and I have been framed and shaped and created in the image of God, and this is one of the core theological underpinnings of our entire Christian faith. Let's go to the top of the same slide. Because humans are made in God's image, every person has inherent dignity, worth, and value. This challenges any ideology that devalues human life based on race, class, gender, or any other factor. Imago Dei asserts that every human is created with purpose and significance, not as an accident of nature, but as unique creation with the capacity to engage in meaningful relationship with God and others. Let's stop right here. I want to highlight this because I know some of you have heard you are significant, you have a purpose, and your eyes glaze over. Some of you have heard it your entire life, and you're sitting here asking these existential questions. Do I really? Here's the deal. Any messaging, any narrative that works against that you have a purpose is a narrative that is not from him. The entire underpinning of our Christian faith is based around this framework. We are made in the image and likeness of God. Therefore, we have purpose. We are significant. We have a future that is better than the present and the past. This is the entire framework. So if you're here today and you're wrestling, if you're significant, guess what? You have a narrative that needs to be replaced with the image of God, Imago Dei. You've been made in the image and the likeness of your creator. Now, First Gathering had a little better response than that, but I'll let you slide. I understand it's afternoon now. I understand we're getting into the certain space in the day. But I want you to understand this is significant. So if you are wrestling or someone in your life, make sure they understand they've been made in the image of God. Therefore, you have purpose, you have significance, you have a future. This is a huge underpinning. Christianity is one of the major, there's many distinctions, but this is one of the major distinctions that is very different than pretty much every major world religion, is that you are valuable. You have dignity, you have purpose, and you are significant. Let's go to the next slide. The role of artists and creators. Given that humanity is created in God's image, humans share in God's creative nature. Artists, musicians, writers, and creators. Stop right there. I love the word creators. Because one of the things we've been attempting to do for the last 3 years, but specifically the last 3 weeks in this series, is to expand our understanding and definition of creativity. Because I know all of us to some degree, some of us, oh, I'm not an artist. I don't write songs. I don't paint. I don't do these artistic expressions. Guess what? But you are a creator. Because you've been made in the image and likeness of God, you have the ability to create something. Your life is your creation. What you decide to do today is your creation. So I love the language. Artists, musicians, writers, and creators are reflecting God's creativity when they create works that bring beauty, truth, and life into the world. Through creativity, people are invited to reflect the nature of the Creator, engaging in acts of imagination and innovation that also speaks to God's beauty and order. Go ahead and go to the next slide. I want to give you just a brief conclusion of Imago Dei, or the image of God. Imago Dei is foundational to understanding humanity's identity and purpose. It emphasizes the inherent dignity and worth of every person. Our responsibility as stewards of creation and our capacity to be in relationship with God and with others. Ultimately, Imago Dei points to the redemption and the restoration of humanity. In Christ, we are transformed into the image of the perfect Son of God. What I want you to get a hold of today is that humans are incubators for innovation. Humans are incubators for ingenuity. Humans are incubators for ideas. We are incubators for solutions. We are at our best when we step out of the framework of order and wade into the waters of chaos. It is there creativity begins to express itself. It is in that space where we step out of order and we move into spaces of chaos and confusion. You were designed to move into spaces of confusion and chaos. I'm not talking about internal chaos and confusion. That's another topic. I'm talking about the world we live in. You move into the chaos and confusion of the world and culture that we live within. We were designed to step in and be in proximity. Have you ever noticed you don't get ideas for problems until you rub shoulders with it? A lot of us are trying to solve something we're not in proximity to. It's so much easier to stay in a safe space and go, well, I think that's what happened. Everything changes the moment you step into the chaos, into the confusion, into the brokenness. It is there, the imagination, the image of God, the likeness, the ability to create and bring life into that situation gets ignited when you're in proximity to darkness. I find it interesting that God hovered over the darkness and void and emptiness. It was there, he thought, let there be light. It wasn't until he got in proximity to what there wasn't. See, you and I are attracted to what there isn't. Our best versions come out when something's missing, something's lacking, something's broken. And the challenge we have, there's such a push in Christianity today to separate yourself from the world. I'm on the other side saying, no, we cannot vacate culture and society. We've been vacating it for decades and we're paying the price for it. We're paying the price for vacating spaces and places that are actually designed for people to sit in, to bring beauty, to bring life, to bring hope and truth in this world. This isn't about a control situation, a manipulation situation. This is about us stepping into the darkness, the confusion, and the emptiness and saying, let there be hope. Let there be light. Let there be life. Let there be reconciliation. One of the most interesting books came out in the 70s. Some of you weren't even alive then. I was born in that decade. 76, let's go. There's a book came out called The Late Great Planet Earth. Some of you may have read it. It ended up being one of the really culture-shaping books within the Christian framework. And the idea of this book was based around this idea of we're getting out of here, we're going to heaven, let's just wait for Jesus to come back. Did you know there's not one commandment or instruction in all of Scripture that says, go to heaven? There's not one. Now, that may be our eventual destination, but there's no command to do it. The only command is bring heaven to earth. So while we have a book that shaped an entire generation, let's just wait till he comes. I hope he comes. I can't wait till he comes. But my dad reminds us. He says this, for you to want to go to heaven, for Jesus to return, it's to send billions of people to hell. Church, we have a lot more work to do until then. So instead of waiting, let's get going. There is a future. If you're trying to figure out where do I create, step outside of order. Step outside of where everything is healthy, and you'll find brokenness just like that. Step out of the spaces that you and I have created for our own spaces. And I love those spaces, but if we're not in proximity to brokenness, to darkness, to emptiness, I don't know if our full capacity can get ignited. Because it took God to step into darkness to create his masterpiece. And that was everything in existence. And we only know it as the universe. Guess what? You have to step into darkness to tap into your potential. You have to step into confusion to realize who God has made you to be. You create art. You create economies. You create businesses. You create homes. You create gardens. You create songs. You just simply create because you're human. You're made in his image and his likeness. You have value and dignity. This is who you are. Time is a canvas for a future to be created that is regenerative, that is renewing, that's restoring, that's reconciling. We may not be able to bring something into existence as God did with creation, but we have this amazing ability to turn hate into love. We have this amazing ability to be in a dysfunctional relationship for years. And when you're in a dysfunctional relationship long enough, guess what? You don't just experience it. You are shaped and formed by it. Your emotional, psychological framework is shaped and formed by dysfunctional relationships. We have this amazing ability to break off dysfunctional thinking, dysfunctional paradigms, and step into a functional, healthy relationship for others. Talk about creators, creations, is when you can take pain and turn it into triumph. When you can take bitterness and turn it into joy. When you can take defeat and turn it into victory. That is one of the most amazing things you and I can do, and take all this brokenness and we go through a process and out of us comes something better. Or you can take in hate and then exit and more hate comes out of you. We have the ability to create life as much as we have the ability to create more hate. We can take all this bitterness, we can justify our stories and say, you know what, I have a right to be this mad. In fact, I'm going to make sure everybody knows it and they're bitter like me. So we bring people into our orbit of bitterness. Guess what? You created that. I create that. But we have the choice to take all this bitterness because we're made in the image and likeness of God. We can turn it into joy and peace and happiness. God's riskiest, most adventurous creation with the human choice. Some of us wish he didn't, but guess what? It's too late. He already gave it to you. The question I want you to think about is, what am I creating with my life? What is coming out of me? Am I taking in my life experiences? You can look at that as material. Are you taking the material of your life and creating something more beautiful and better? Some of you have some of the rawest, most painful, prickly material, and you've been wondering why you have this material in your life. I can't explain the why, but I can tell you what you can choose to do. I was just with someone fairly recently, and I'm hearing their entire story. Just tragic childhood, tragic experiences, tragic upbringing by some really dysfunctional, broken parents, who I'm sure they were doing their best, but nonetheless, it was just tragedy. It's like you look at their path, and it's tragedy, 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 brokenness, darkness. It's just, that's the narrative. But then I look at them, what they're creating now, it's beauty, it's joy, It's celebration, it's triumph. Why? Because they're able to take all this material and they found a way to create a different future. This is what I want you to ask yourself the question, what is my life creating? What's the material I have? Instead of running from the material, embrace it and say, well, I didn't choose it, but guess what? I get to choose what to do with it. Humans are designed to take the material in the seen dimensions and the unseen dimension and turn it into beauty, to innovate, to introduce something better to this world. Let's go to the next slide. Artists in the last century have been functioning in society to reveal brokenness. In this century, can they lead the way toward reconnection, reconciliation, and reintegration? Let's go to the next slide. We will look at a new model for leadership at border care, building bridges, and serving as messengers or ambassadors to separated groups, trying to find a way to the common good. We will look at language care, finding trade languages and the generative grammar to diffuse a culture wars. And we will look at the various means of stewardship of the wider ecosystem of our culture, including cultivation of artists and business leaders who can be custodians of culture. There's a book called Culture Care. It's a great book. Why don't you stand?
Thanks for listening to today's talk. If you're interested in learning more about Studio here in Greenville, you can go check out our website, studiogreenville.com, and you can give us a follow on Instagram. Our handle is studio.greenville. Have a great week.